Okay, this is talking to G.M. Taylor. On the 3rd of May, 1981, there was a telephone from Cambridge to his home in Airgate, Malvern, on the other side.
Okay, now to begin, if I could ask you, where you did your undergraduate training, in what field it was, and then how you first came into contact with either radio or radar astronomy. Which year was that now? 1955. Yes. I see. So they pulled you away from Mullard, so to speak. And so when was it that you went to Jodl? Right. And let me just ask you. Okay, I missed on the tape that the G stood for George and the N for Nicholas. Right. So you went to Jodl Bank in 57, was it? 58. And can you describe what the situation was that you saw as a beginning research student? Can you tell me who was the leader of the group and what the various roles of the different people were to do this task? Right. I have talked to him. Right. Now, were you sort of an isolated group relative to the passive radio astronomy people? Right now, but were you talking with these other radar people more than you were with the radio astronomers?
No.
So you were separated from them even? I see. Right. Now, what were the main technical tasks at hand in order to have a reasonable chance of success at this? Mm-hmm. So the integrator was a whole new thing from the lunar radar, of course.
Yes.
Right. Right. Now, what approach did you take to, for the integrator?
Mm-hmm. I see. Yes. Right. Was it a matter of stability over such a long time primarily, or? Good heavens, yeah. And actually, I'm not familiar with the term post office rack. How does it compare with a 19-inch? I see. So it's about half the height of a full rack then. I see, okay. Right. Now, the conjunction of Venus was in April 59. Exactly how much time did you have to prepare for this? September 59. Okay, I must have that wrong here. Yeah. And you had something like a year to prepare for this. I see, that's the way you did it. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Were there any conflicts between the experiments that you would want to carry out in the radar realm, which would create a lot of interference perhaps for the people doing passive astronomy? Was that all pretty well split up in time so that there weren't much problems? Yeah. But people, for instance, working on the bench, though, with their radiometers, was that ever a problem that they felt they just couldn't do anything useful? Right. Well, I asked this question because the mixture of radar and passive work at Jodwell is unique around the world. Usually the radar's been well separated. And Right. Yeah. Well, since you brought that subject up, the reason to abandon the meteor radar appears rather apparent to me, namely that it had been milked of any useful science, pretty much. But what about the reason to abandon the planetary radar work? What was the basic reason there, you think? Yes. Right. So it was felt they would just be concentrating Jodwell too much on one. Yeah. But now, of course, starting with the space era in 57 or so, Lovell had been getting money from U.S. military and NASA. this would have been yet another level of funding to continue in the planetary radar? Yeah. Okay, well, now going back to the time before the first attempt, were you aware that that Lincoln Lab was going to be trying this also? And how did it come about that you were aware of them? Was it someone that had worked at one place or the other? And I see. In fact, of course, he went there in the early 60s, didn't he? Oh, was it that early? I've forgotten that. It's been a few years since I've interviewed him. So that's why, that then explains why Thompson was the lead person for the 61 attempt? Right. Okay, but going back now to that first experiment, you say it was in September, and did you feel that you had gotten this equipment to the state that it should be in? I mean, one can always improve things slightly, but were you basically happy with the state it was in when you made this first attempt? Right. And what can you remember that might be interesting to me about the run itself? Right. Right. I see what you're saying, yeah. Right. And were you doing this for essentially 12 hours a day, tracking the planet for that long? Now, one thing that just occurred to me is that when you're doing this is that the sun, of course, is nearby. Was this a operational problem at all in terms of increasing the system noise? Yeah, okay. Well, now, of course, the result that was published was that you had something like a 2.5 standard deviation rise at a range, which agreed with the one that MIT had reported the previous year. And it's now clear that this range is not a correct range in terms of the AU the value of the AU that it got. And what is your view towards this? Was it just a matter of bad luck that you had a noise blip in that particular channel? Or? In their second try, yeah. Right. So you didn't know that when you published your paper. Right. Well, in fact, once again, I may have this information from someone, but I've forgotten, nor did I go back and look at the 58 Lincoln Lab paper, but can you tell me, do you remember what basically went wrong with that purported detection? Yes. Right. Yeah. But the 58 one was a much, on the face of it, a much stronger signal, though. Yeah, right. So, this result was encouraging at first, but then when you found out about the Lincoln Lab negative result, what did you make of this? I see. Well, this is probably because they were so puzzled about how to reconcile it. Right. But in terms of, so was it automatic that you were just going to try for it the next time Venus came around? Yeah. Okay, what were those respects?
Mm-hmm. Right.